So let's pray and ask the Lord to help. Father, I rely upon you, Holy Father, today in realizing that all truth comes from you because you are the truth. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us today. Open the hearts of each one of us here today. Open our understanding, Lord, and impart the truth, the revelation of who you are, Lord, that we might know you. Lord, we don't want to just learn about you, but we want to know you. We want to experience you. We want to have an encounter with you, Lord, each and every day. And Lord, we need to have a hunger and a desire for you, Lord. So deliver us from those things, God, that would choke us and hinder us and bring us into fellowship, Lord, with you, where we will find our delight and our satisfaction. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. So have your way with us today, Lord. Use me as a vessel. Speak through me today. Reach through me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Title of this morning's message is Standing Firm to the End. Standing Firm to the End. And the text I wanted to start from, the launching pad here, would be Matthew 24 and verse 12. And this is the time I believe that we're in. I believe personally that we are at the beginning of sorrows now. And God is getting ready. Amen. And he's getting his people ready. He's preparing a bride. He's been waiting a long time. Amen. For the call to go and get my children. And so it's time for us to wake out of slumber, to have oil in our lamps. Amen. To be watchful. For the Lord is coming, just like he promised. And because lawlessness will abound, the love or agape of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the word lawless means illegality or violation of law. And that's exactly what we're seeing now, is widespread lawlessness, where people are casting off all restraints. They don't submit to authority anymore. They disregard it. They despise it. And people are running amok, if you will, today. And that's going to be the time, amen, that Jesus was speaking about here. We're in that, I believe, now. We're beginning to see it, and it's going to grow. It's been growing for many, many years, has it not? But it is coming now to fruition. And the fruit of pride is violence. When people reach that pinnacle or that peak of pride, they become completely self-centered and inconsiderate of others and are willing to do whatever they feel like doing in their heart because their conscience in many cases has been seared. Their conscience has become ineffective. So they can do things that maybe years ago would have bothered them with little or no disregard or remorse even for their actions. And that's what we're seeing happening right now. But it says, he who endures. The word endures means bear up against adversity or hold out under stress to stand firm. So he who stands firm to the end shall be saved. And this is a general statement. And that those who stand fast and endure persecution, temptation, without turning away or denying the Lord, will be saved. Now, whether we realize it or not, or want to realize it or not, we're faced with an uncertain future, aren't we? And I know some want to just kind of lose themselves in entertainment and keep themselves distracted so they're not going to have to face the days that we're heading into. And yet, that's not what Jesus told us to do. He told us to prepare, not to be scared, but to be prepared. And when you're spiritually prepared, you can walk without fear, without worry in this world. Is that true? If your heart is full of the Lord, you're full of his love. And in his love, there is no fear. His perfect love does what? Yeah, it casts out, drives out all fear. So we need more of him, don't we? If I find myself becoming worried or fearful or about the future even, it means I just need to get closer to Jesus. Amen. I need to allow him to fill my life again and bring me into His peace. God wants to bring His people into stability so that no matter what happens in the days to come, we're going to stand firm because we're standing on the firm foundation, Jesus Christ. Amen. And He's the rock, as we said earlier, that doesn't roll. Hallelujah. We're on the rock that doesn't roll. So, and no one should imagine here that denying Jesus before men would somehow be a means of escape or safety. When people are put on the spot, when people are pressured. I recently ran into somebody I hadn't seen for a while in Walmart and wanted to pray for this person. And they didn't want me to pray for them because they were embarrassed that someone might see them being prayed for, or them praying in public. And guys, if we can't stand up in a Walmart and pray, how are we going to endure persecution if it comes, amen, and when it comes? You see, the church in America has had it very easy. We've become spiritually soft or out of shape because we don't have a sense need. Because, well, what do I have need of God for? I have the internet. I have my tablet. I have three hots and a cot. Everything is going my way, right? How many know that the Lord right now is shaking everything? And everything will be shaken. And the earth right now is in that time of, I believe, the birth pangs, you know. They're going to increase the intensity of the shaking. And we see it escalating right now. I know some people would try to deny that and say, oh, it's always been this way. I don't believe it. I believe that we are seeing times, and you talk to just about anybody that's got any clue, that walks with God, amen, would say, yeah, I've never seen anything like this before, not at this point, not at this level. And so we should be aware that, guess what? Jesus is going to come for His church, and we need to be ready for that day. And no matter what, if He comes to take us out of here or whether we have to endure, we have to be prepared, amen? Prepare today. And you don't, again, pack your lunch on the journey. You pack it before you go on your journey, right? So God wants you to pack your lunch. He wants you to get filled up on Him. Amen. He wants you to be established in the word of truth. Amen. To know your God, to know His word. Amen. This is going to be your sword. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, your offensive weapon against the enemy. Hallelujah. There's a flood of evil that's coming upon the nations. Amen. But where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. So if we are in Christ, then we have all that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness. And we can do what? All things through Christ. Amen. He strengthens us. But we have to get into a place where we understand that and we need Him and we realize that we need Him and we stay close to Him. And that's the safest place to be. Amen. It's not in some cave with a bunch of canned goods. Amen. It's near Jesus. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the day will come when men will say, let the rocks fall upon us. So if the rocks are going to fall on, maybe they're in a cave somewhere down underneath the earth. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, they will say. But you and I have not been appointed to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe there is an escape. Jesus said to watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth, and to do what? To stand before the Son of Man. Does that mean that we're going to escape persecution? Not necessarily. Amen. In the world, you'll have what? Tribulation. But the Lord has overcome the world. And if you and I are close to Jesus, amen, we're walking with the overcomer, man. Amen. We don't have a thing to fear. We don't have to worry about anything. When you're tight with God, when your heart is right with God, you have His peace, and His peace passes what? Your understanding. Amen. It goes beyond what you're seeing and perceiving with your five senses even. Amen. It's a supernatural peace that will guard your heart and your mind and keep you from going crazy. Right now, there's an increase in mental illness. Amen. A lot of people are losing their minds right now. The suicide rate is skyrocketed because of the things, even I think in a lot of ways, the little things that are happening right now, some people are shaken over. Do you understand that God in His mercy, amen, does not throw the whole ball of wax at us, amen? But God conditions us through situations in life, I believe, that prepare us, amen, for what is yet to come. In other words, we're going to have to go through some testing, amen, so that we can be proven and tried, right, and be prepared, amen, for the next level. But if we endure with Him, we shall also reign with Him. And he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved or delivered. And I believe God wants us to know that He is with us, that He's for us, that we don't have to fear any of these things, that we trust in Him, amen, and we're not disappointed. We're not ashamed. We're not ashamed of His name. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, because we know who we are in Him and who He is in us. Hallelujah. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, 38, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Only those who have true faith in Jesus are safe and will not deny him. Do you understand? This is a test of your faith. Amen. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He doesn't change, right? He is a solid foundation for us. Hallelujah. And our confidence in God, all right, releases His grace to sustain us no matter what we face in the days to come. God's grace is greater than anything that we're going to encounter, anything that we would face. Hallelujah. How many know that God wants you to live your life? How many know that God wants you to have life and life more abundantly? God doesn't want you to get into the fear, amen, and just to get into this place of hopelessness where you stop planning and preparing for your future. How many know that we should just continue to live our lives day by day, but just stay close to Jesus, walk together with the Lord, amen, and His peace will guard your heart and your mind. And we're entering in a time, I believe, where many are going to start asking, and they are already, of the hope that we have. They're going to want to know, what must I do to be saved? Because they're seeing all these things that are happening and around them. And some of them, in fact, I had somebody the other day come up to me and say, "Well, is God coming? I'm really afraid that if God comes, that I'm not going to be ready." Well, that's a very important question to ask. Am I ready if the Lord comes, right? But people are realizing that things are not the same. Things have shifted. And we're moving towards that time, that glorious time, really, when the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen? With the voice of an archangel. And the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's called the rapture. I believe in the rapture because the Bible says there's going to be a catching away. All right. If ever there was a time we need to be ready, is now. Ooh, our ability. This is the same message, guys, week after week. Our ability to endure comes from the Lord. Amen. Our ability to endure temptation is only by the grace of God. Naturally, you and I are no match for our adversary. And so people get self-confident and they think that in themselves they possess what it takes to live a life that's holy. You know what happens? They end up sometimes living a clean moral life, but then they become a hypocrite in self-righteousness. They start to believe then, because I'm such a good person, that makes me righteous. How many know that your righteousness doesn't come from you? The righteousness that God approves of is His righteousness that is given to you, imputed to you through Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that makes us righteous. He's the one that qualifies us for His presence. It's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. And in His righteousness, I am righteous. In His holiness, I am holy. As I lean on, depend on the grace of God, amen, I am strong in Him. I may be weak in me, amen, but in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. Because God needs us to get to the place where we realize that we're weak, that we're frail vessels, that we can't in our own willpower live the life we're called to. We must depend upon the grace of God, amen, that is freely given to us in Christ Jesus, everything that we have need of, amen, we can come to Him daily, amen, and say, Father, give us this day our daily bread. He wants to give good gifts to His children. He wants to provide of His Spirit every day to us, amen, to sustain us, to strengthen us. So our ability to endure is available, is only possible through our faith in the power of God. Not our faith in our ability to be faithful. Not in our faith to be able to do a good job. All right? But our faith in God alone. We look to Him. When the wolf growls, amen, the sheep don't look at the wolf, they look at the shepherd. Amen? And so we need to understand our shepherd is there. He's waiting for us, but we need to call on Him in that time of trial, in that time of temptation, and know that God's grace is sufficient. How many have realized that in your life, that God's grace is enough for you? Amen? And where would we be today? I don't know where I'd be. I don't want to think about it. Amen? If it wasn't for the mercy of God and the grace of God to sustain me, to keep me. Hallelujah. But in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, Paul said, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Christ is the power of God. Our faith, amen, not in our ability to be faithful, but our faith in Him who is faithful and His ability and His grace to sustain us, to keep us, amen, throughout every situation that we endure. In 1 John 5 and verse 4, it says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world." And we achieve this victory through what? Our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you know what? Our ability to effectively minister to somebody else is also dependent on our faith in God's power. There are people that can preach a good sermon. I'm not one of them. But there are those who can preach a good sermon independent of God's Spirit. There are people who are unregenerate, don't have the Spirit of God, who can preach a good sermon. There are people that have learned even how to manipulate people's emotions and get them to do whatever they want by using their soul power, but they don't have the Spirit of the Lord in them. In other words, they're professional hypocrites. They're actors. Some of your professional clergy are nothing more than stuffed shirts or actors. Yeah. A true man and woman of God will rely upon the Holy Spirit, amen, the power of God, to do what they do. Because they realize in themselves they don't have it. I can't do anything of any eternal effect without the Spirit of the Lord, amen, without the ability that God supplies me. So I have to rely, just like everybody else, on the Lord, amen, to be effective in ministry. And the Lord helps me. During this time, when we were shut down, basically, and we were doing the live feeds, and you can ask Chuck and Ben, who are here doing the audio and the video of that, I just told them a couple times, I say, I'm really struggling. This is just not me. You know? Because I need to be in the moment, as Jesus told us to gather, amen, with His people, so it's a heart-to-heart thing. But to try to preach to a camera, and so I'm using my mind to kind of visualize it. The folks are here, but I'm talking to a camera. Are you hearing me? So it's almost like you have to go by script because you're not connecting with somebody in the spirit. It's not a heart-to-heart thing, all right? But it's almost like a cranial thing, and I'm just not that smart. Have you noticed that already? Yeah. Don't say amen, hurt my feelings. But I rely upon the ability that God supplies. And that's the awesome thing. See, God will just choose anyone who's willing to say, yes, Lord. He'll fill them with His Spirit, amen. He'll give them His wisdom. And He'll give them the ability to do what they couldn't do naturally. So people will have to say, you know what? There's more than that Joe right there or that Jane doing this thing. God's got to be with them. Otherwise, they couldn't do what they're doing. We can't heal a flea, amen. But by the power of God, amen, people can get healed through our lives. If we're relying upon Him and not ourselves. Amen? Okay. That's how righteous I am. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, and that was a joke, by the way. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There it is again. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul relied upon the power of the Holy Spirit, guys. We have to do the same thing. God's trying to wean us off of ourselves once again so that we get into a place where we're really leaning on Him. And the more that we lean on Him, the greater the power is. Amen? The greater the flow of His Spirit. We've got to rely upon Him. If we get into pride and we get into self-sufficiency and just think, well, I've done this a long time, I can just do this. Amen? Well, yeah, you could probably do it. But you're going to do it void of God's Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's bondage, there's legalism. Amen? It's just a dead letter. What we need is the Spirit of God to breathe upon that word. Amen? And impart life. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life. They're life-giving. And why could He say that? Because He spoke not on His own authority, but on His Father's authority. As He heard the Father speak, He spoke that word. And therefore, that word that He spoke had authority to transform hearts and minds, you see. That's the same thing for you and I. We need to be people of His presence, people of the Spirit. Amen? And not just trained or professional clergy, but we just need to be who we are, how God designed us to be. Amen? To be an expression of His heart in the earth. And God will use anyone who's willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me. If you notice the people that God chose, even Moses and Isaiah and others are all, Lord, I can't. What did Moses say? I'm just a child. I can't speak. Or he had a stuttering problem, didn't he? He says, I'm not eloquent of speech. He said, who made God's mouth? Amen. Well, you, Lord. Well, how many know if God calls you to do something, He's going to provide for you the grace to do what He called you to do? All He needs is you and I to cooperate and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to step out in obedience to what You told me to do. Sometimes God has been prodding people, even as we're gathered on a Sunday morning, to open your mouth and give Him praise. To express your heart to Him, amen, publicly. Sometimes that's what it takes to break a person free from the shell that they're living in. Are you hearing me, somebody? I know what it's like to live in a shell. A shell of self-protectionism. And I'm afraid to make myself vulnerable, afraid to come out of that shell, lest I should be persecuted or I should be criticized or somebody. You know, some people are so caught up today in image. What do people think about me? How many friends do I have on Facebook? Oh, the body shaming thing. People go out and commit suicide because somebody criticized their body. It's all about me, you see. No, it's not. It's got to be about Jesus. Amen. He's got to be the center. And you and I have to be selfless about this. We can't be in this for us. You can't be a minister for you. And God wants every one of us to be a minister for Him. Every one of us is a minister in some capacity. He's gifted you some way so you could be an influence in this world. Did you know that? Amen? So we need to deny ourselves that says, well, I don't want to say anything because they just might respond this way. If God's pressing you to say something, guess what? He's going to be with you. If He says, open your mouth and speak, then open your mouth and He'll fill it. I've seen people that were all bottled up inside, and I said, well, you need to just start praising God. And praising God like you're at a football game and your team is winning, but do it even beyond that, amen? But open your mouth and start praising the Lord, amen, with all your heart, and all of a sudden it's just like a dam broke up inside. Hallelujah, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, amen, prophesied sometimes. God wants to use us, every one of us. But we need to know and understand, like Dave said this morning, that God inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. And we need to create an atmosphere, amen, that God wants to hang out in, if you will. Do you understand? God doesn't want to hang out in an atmosphere of negativity and complaining. God's not going to bless that mess, amen. God wants us to be in a place where we are thankful and giving praise, amen. And trusting in Him and voicing that to the Lord. Lord, I'm trusting You. I don't understand. I don't know all the answers, but I'm going to trust You. I don't know what's going to happen up ahead. Everybody's online trying to figure out what's going to happen next, what's going to happen next. And you got five different people saying five different things of what's going to happen next. Somebody's lying. How about you and I just getting close to Jesus, amen, and say, Lord, what do I need to know? What do I need to be aware of? What do I need to prepare? Amen? I say Jesus is saying to his church, draw near to me. Amen? You can agree with that? So we don't rely upon our own wisdom, our own eloquence of speech, but on the Holy Spirit. I remember one time when I was going through ministry training and I had to preach a message to my home church pastor. My pastor was there. He's an old saint, many years in the trenches, and you know, I had high regard for him. But you know, when I was doing youth ministry, I could preach up a storm and the power of the Holy Spirit, but all of a sudden I had to be tested on preaching. I tell you what, that was one of the most awkward things to get up there. Because now, instead of just kind of flowing and relaxing in the anointing, I'm trying to do everything according to the book. Are you hearing me? And it was actually hindering me from being a vessel that God could work through because I was too self-conscious about what I was doing. Rather than just listening to God and speaking it out and say, you know, when you minister to somebody, you got to get you out of the picture, right? Let the wall down and just think about how you can be a blessing to them. How can I encourage you today? And you know, God said when we love, amen, then we're loving Him. Now remember, our past victories are not able to sustain us in the present. Our past victories are not able to sustain us in the present. I hear sometimes, and I love to think back and reflect, and as we get older, we get more nostalgic, and you think about the precious memories and the good old times, and some of those things are good reminders, and sometimes they can help encourage us in the present. Amen? But understand that your past victories are not going to sustain you in the present. Some people are living out of yesterday. Some people are thinking that because I was doing well then or I was doing this then, that means everything is fine now. How many know that as long as we have breath, we should be giving God praise? As long as we have breath, we should be serving the Lord. Amen? Because we are His vessels. So let's make the most of every opportunity. Let's look for ways where we can serve one another in love. Amen? For the Lord. Remember what happened to Samson? He made that mistake. He didn't maintain a steady walk with the Lord. He started to expect that because he had past victories and God had used them in the past, that somehow is going to sustain him, amen, in the present or even in the future. And as a result, he got proud. And when he got proud, he started to compromise and he started to sleep around with prostitutes. And wasn't it when he was in the lap of Delilah when everything came crashing down? He was in the lap of the enemy. Here's a great man of God. And he finds himself in the lap of Delilah and sin. And in Judges 16 and verse 20, and she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he woke from sleep and said, "I will go out." What? "As before at other times." I want us to look at this part of the verse. "As before at other times. And shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. You know, another person, and there's many in Scripture, and they're there for our admonition, that we would be wise, amen, and not follow and make the same mistakes that they did. But King Solomon also made that mistake. He was a young man, amen. He was dedicated to the Lord, and God appeared to Solomon. And he asked him, "Solomon, what can I do for you? What will I do for you?" And Solomon didn't ask for riches or long life or even the life of his enemies. But he said, "Lord, give me a wise and discerning heart," right? So that he could be a good leader and represent the Lord to the people. That was his heart. But Solomon began to get proud. And when we get proud, it means that we're forgetting the Lord. It's the Lord who sustains us. It's the Lord who keeps us. Amen. And he gives his grace to the humble. And so God gave Solomon even uncommon wisdom and riches like no man. Because he pleased the Lord when he was a young man, because his motivation was pure. I don't wonder how many of us today would say, "Whoa, kind of think of the, and I don't advocate genies because genies is another, you know, it's a bad illustration probably. But, you know, when you're a kid, you thought about, what if I found a genie thing and I rubbed it? And what would my wishes be, you know? One of the first things we probably thought was, give me lots of money. You understand? Just make me rich. That would be my first wish. But Solomon was not that. He said, to me, the most important thing is to please the Lord. What would please the Lord? And he responded accordingly. Do you know that the same thing is true for us today? God wants us, amen, to put his agenda first. His desires before ours, amen? To put his will before ours. And when you do that, it pleases him. How many know that God's will is superior to ours? It's better than ours. And the things that sometimes we think we want are really not that good for us. And sometimes God doesn't give us, in his mercy, he doesn't give us what we want. Because he knows sometimes it can destroy a person. How many know that sometimes riches can bring a person to ruin? Mm-hmm. Too often, right? Good time for an offering. But King Solomon made that mistake. He thought that his past victories were going to sustain him in the present. And in 1 Kings 4 in verse 29, God gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding and knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore. In fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men of the east and the wise men of Egypt. But then the problem was the compromise, you see, when he became proud in 1 Kings 11, verse 1. King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. Verse 2, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. And what happened? Solomon clung to these in love. In other words, Solomon disobeyed the Lord. He lived according to his sight, you see. He didn't live by faith in what God said. But he allowed his lusts to get in the way. How many wives did he have? He had 700 and 300 concubines. Can you imagine, guys? 1,000 women. But what happened is Solomon, he thought, you know, he's doing pretty good. He's got all this wisdom. He's got all these riches. He became proud. He forgot the Lord. It was the Lord who'd done all this for him. And when he got proud, he started to compromise. This happens too often, guys. And because of the compromise, it didn't end well with him, did it? In verse 4, it says, for it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. How sad. As another example is when I was in the world, sometimes you guys know what I'm talking about. Well, I can hold my liquor. You'd pride yourself on how much you could drink and not pass out or lose it. You know? And so it starts out with, I can just hold my liquor. I've got control of this thing. No problem. I'm a good social drinker. And how many people, then they get into their car thinking, oh, I'm good, I can drive, I can handle my liquor, but they can't. And maybe initially you thought you had a handle on things, and maybe the devil allowed you to think that you had a handle on it initially. And all of a sudden the tables are turned, amen, and now that thing's got you, and you're a full-blown alcoholic. And that's how it started out with what? A little compromise. First time you smoke, you're coughing for a reason, amen? Your lungs are telling you don't do that, right? Here's God's instruction and warning to Israel in Deuteronomy 6 and 10. So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hone out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then verse 12, then beware. When you are what? When you have eaten and are full, then beware. That's America today. Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see, some people wrongly assume that because things are smooth, in their life, things are easy, maybe they're prosperous in their life, that somehow means that they've got favor with God, and there's enough preachers out there telling people, if you're rich, it's because you've got favor with God. Not necessarily. God can, amen, give power for someone to get wealth, amen. But just because somebody has an easy life, things are smooth, amen, they may be prosperous, that doesn't necessarily mean that person is right with God. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. And it's a delusion. And unfortunately, some of the doctrines that people are receiving today are telling them it's all about that. And that's a sign that you're right with God, is that because you have money and you have wealth and you have the best cars and the houses and the suits and all that bling. Amen? How many know there's no U-Hauls going to heaven? Some people wrongly assume that because life is smooth and comfortable, that it's somehow a sign that all is well between them and the Lord. Now remember the Church of Laodicea. We've used this a lot, but it's something to go back and remind ourselves. How many know we need to keep looking in the Scripture? Amen. Because it's like a mirror that reminds us, oh yes, that's the standard right there. Amen. And this is where I am in comparison to God. Amen. All right. Revelation 3:15. I know your works, that you're neither not cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are what? Lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out or spit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, this church assumed all was well. That was the deception, guys. People can think that all is well when it might not be well. As a matter of fact, if we judge ourselves without relying upon the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we can all probably have a pretty good assessment of ourselves. And we can pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, you're pretty righteous. You're pretty good. At least you're not as bad as Tom over there. I said Tom because there's no Toms here today. And Sally. You see, we can start to compare ourselves and we can pride ourselves in our accomplishments and how righteous we are. And in our own sight, we can think we're pretty good. But the Lord says there's none righteous. Apart from Him, there are none. For all what have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. The only way we can be justified is to cast ourselves down at the feet of Jesus, amen, and cry mercy. Have mercy upon me, Lord, a sinner. Turn to the Lord and He will abundantly pardon. And He's got sufficient grace to lift you back up, amen, give you a new life, a new start, a new beginning, and sustain you to the end by His grace. As you rely upon Him, you will have all that you have need of to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. But He says, I know your works. But you said in verse 17, I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. You know, for many years, guys, America has been, I think, in a lot of ways, Laodicea. We've been a proud and prosperous nation. And as a result, many of our people who once walked with the Lord have forsaken Him. They've gone after other gods, the gods of sex, the gods of, you know, popularity, the gods of money, of mammon. And God in His mercy wants America to be saved. He wants the people of America to realize that it's not because of our own goodness. It's not because of our righteousness that God blessed America. But it was because of those who had gone before, who were on their face before God. Amen. Who feared the Lord, who walked in His ways and prayed, and God opened the heavens and blessed America. Amen. To be the most prosperous nation on the earth. Hallelujah. And now we've become proud. We've become self-sufficient. We've become, you know, just self-reliant. And we feel like we have need of nothing. What do I need God for? Sometimes fasting has a way of getting our perspective corrected. Go without food. How many here have gone without food for a while before? You've fasted before. I think it might be a good thing for some of our kids to experience that once in a while. Mm-hmm. The entitlement mentality of this age. You know, they're finding out that the kids that are causing the most problems right now are the rich, spoiled kids that have always had everything handed to them. They've never had to work for anything, most of them. So they don't know the value of anything. So it's fine for them to go out and destroy another man's work because they don't know what it's like to have to go out and labor for something. Do you understand? It's unusual. It's weird, isn't it? But that's what they're saying is a lot of these are spoiled white kids, a lot of them, that are going out in the Antifa and these groups and causing all the problems. Do you understand? Our Father, our Heavenly Father, is all wise, all knowing. He knows what's best for us. He knows what we can handle, what we can't handle. And sometimes the Father has to take away in order to teach us, amen, that we cannot rely upon just the stuff and the things of this world. Amen. But we need to trust Him as He is our provider, not your employer. Amen. How many know that money doesn't come from the bank? Amen. It really comes from the Lord. Amen. Wealth, God takes care of us. If you trust Him and if you honor Him with the first fruits, amen, and you're willing to give, He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Amen. So God will test us in the area of giving too. Amen. God wants us to be a giving people, willing to give. That's His heart. Amen. But the church in America, as I said earlier, has become spiritually soft. It's become weak. And you know, if a lamp isn't checked regularly, it will run out unexpectedly. You and I are God's lamp. You and I are God's vessels. Our responsibility as His vessels, as a royal priesthood, is to keep the supply, right, of oil. All right, God's not going to force it on you. He asks us to come to Him, amen, that we might receive from Him what we have need of, to sustain us, to keep our lamps filled and our lights brightly shining, amen. That's because apart from Him, we can do nothing. We must understand that who we are, amen, is dependent on who He is in us. We need to know that God will provide the grace, the ability that we need if we'll ask Him for it. But we're not going to ask Him for it if we're self-sufficient, thinking that we have need of nothing. And we're trusting in other gods, other things other than the Lord. Amen. It's an idol. And God says, you shall have no other gods before me. And sometimes God has to ratchet it up. Amen. And to get God's people to realize that we can't do this without Him. The reason why the church in America, a lot of the church in America has been so sickly and so weak and ineffective is because we're trying to do this independent of God. People have discovered how to do ministry without the Spirit of the Lord. There's pastors, again, in pulpits that don't even have the Spirit of the Lord, but they've gone to school and they've learned how to do a sermon. And people are getting a dead letter. The people aren't being nourished. They're not getting fed the right stuff. They're getting all this watered down stuff today. Amen. So they don't have anything that will sustain them and equip them and prepare them. Amen. For what is yet to come. And a lot of people right now are getting quite upset because their ministers and their pastors have not been teaching them the truth of God's word. They've been telling them all these sweet things that they wanted to hear. But now when they find themselves in a difficult situation that they never saw coming. I don't know about you, but I didn't see this thing coming 6 months ago. I mean, we knew things were going to change, amen, eventually. But all of a sudden, how that happened, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. Call me unspiritual, but God only allows me to see what He wants me to see. And sometimes He's protecting us, amen, by not allowing us to see. Because then we may try to take things in our own hands and not trust Him. But all of a sudden, people found themselves, hey, whatever happened to my bling? What about my BMW? Are you hearing me, somebody? What's the kingdom? The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if your soul is satisfied in Him, you, like Paul the Apostle, can find contentment in little or much. It didn't matter to him. He says, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content. Why? Because it's the Lord who satisfied him. And when your heart is satisfied, you're not coveting temporal things. You understand there's benefit and there's use for the things that we have, but they're only here for the using. Amen. It's not our God. It's not our goal. Our pursuit is not to get rich. Our pursuit, amen, is to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. And store up for ourselves where? Treasure in heaven. Hallelujah. And the Lord having him say in that day, well done. You saw beyond the moment. You saw beyond the temporary. You saw into the eternal, the spiritual. Hallelujah. And God wants us to trust that no matter what we face, he's the provider. He's the one that's going to take care of you in the days to come. Trust him. Amen. Call upon him. And know that God is with you. God is for you. And if you have to suffer, know that he's right there with you in the fire. Amen. If you have to go through the water, know that he's going to be with you in the water. Amen. He's not going to allow you to drown. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, we are his priests. Guys, we're supposed to keep the lamp filled. And our ability to endure is dependent on our keeping an adequate supply of oil. You see, the five foolish virgins, remember the 10 virgins? They had oil, but they didn't have a sufficient amount of oil. So they thought that they were good to go. They didn't realize their true condition. They were unready. They were not ready when Jesus came, when the bridegroom came. God's saying, you need to be ready. You need a sufficient supply of oil. That means your life needs to be fully dedicated to the Lord. Amen. To his service. We have been called out of this world to partner with Jesus, to be an expression of him in this world. We are not here to serve ourselves. We are to serve the Lord. Amen. And to serve one another. That's what Jesus modeled for us when he was here. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit is freely given to those who come to God in faith, right? The true worshipers. And the problem is that sometimes, guys, we wait until the fire goes out. People wait. And what happens is when the fire goes out, so does your vision and your ability to see. The Laodicean church, I believe, was in a situation where they were unable to see their true condition because they didn't have oil, amen, sufficient oil. And the Bible talks about the eye salve, amen, which is another teaching altogether. But they weren't able to see because they didn't have the anointing, all right? In other words, they weren't in agreement with the Spirit of God. They were off doing their own thing and probably doing like a lot of us do today. We just do our church thing on Sunday, but the rest of the week we live for us. And what do I need God for? I got everything I need. I've got a fat bank account. I've got all this lined up, you know, for days to, for future to come. So, you know, and what's the plan? Well, we'll just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the evilness of that, amen? That's what the world thinks. They just think that, well, you're only here, you might as well party it up, because tomorrow you're going to die, it's all going to be over. No, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's coming a judgment. And there's going to be a reckoning, and there's going to be a time when the Lord's going to say, okay, I've invested in you. I've given you these gifts. I've given you these abilities. What did you do with my divine deposit in your life? Have you been faithful? Have you been a good steward over that which I've entrusted to you? Or did you take it and squander it? Or do you just live for yourself? Do you understand? Our hearts need to be right with God. And without the anointing, without the Spirit of the Lord, we're unable to see. Amen. And if we've got idols in our lives, they're going to blind you from seeing clearly. You've got to ask the Lord, Lord, how is it between you and I? I want to make sure that it's okay between me and the Lord. Amen. Not asking somebody else, am I okay with God? But find out from the Lord himself how it is with you. Amen. And don't assume that because things are easy, because you're prosperous or whatever, that means that somehow everything is going my way and I'm right with God. Oh, God's blessing me. God's blessing me. Well, hallelujah. God's blessing. Are you blessing him back? Are you blessing somebody else? Is God blessing you? I don't know if every time that people get rich and prosperous, it's God blessing them. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the devil said, I'll give you all the kingdom of this world if you bow down to me. How many of that's what's happening in Hollywood, right? And a lot of you celebrities, you're bowing down for money. Oh, yeah. Some of the most godless people have the most money. Is God blessing them? What about our poor brothers and sisters that are undergoing severe persecution around the world? Many of them are laying down their lives for their testimony of Jesus. Many of them are, by threat of persecution, possible death, are willing to go and gather together on a Sunday with their brothers and sisters because their heart's in heaven. They're living for that, amen, which will be. So just because things are going smooth doesn't necessarily mean that everything is okay between you and the Lord. I'm just saying that, guys, because this is what was happening with Laodicea. They thought because everything is going good, everything is smooth, that they didn't need God. And they didn't realize their true condition. They were what? Wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, God said. Wow. Yeah. If you realize you're naked, then you're going to ask God to clothe you, right? So, what does Ephesians 5:18 says? What does it say? And do not be drunk with wine, and which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, what does it say in verse 19? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, guess what? In order to sing to one another, you got to be where? In fellowship with others. Just saying. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A heart of gratitude. Amen. Guys, sometimes we can complain about the smallest things. I've been in restaurants before with fellow Christians who... Well, first of all, thank God that we in America can go to a restaurant. And restaurant of your choice. All right? And have somebody serve us at a reasonable price. But I've been to restaurants. Nobody here, of course. But I've been to restaurants with fellow Christians. And, you know, all I heard was complaining, man. It's not cooked right. It's not this. It's not that. Bent out of shape over petty stuff such as that. Now, should we get good service? Yes. My point is that we should not be complaining about everything. In all things, we're to give thanks. Praise God, we're able to get out of bed this morning. Amen. Praise God, how many had a vehicle to come to church in today? Amen. Praise God, I got transportation, right? It may not be a BMW, but it got me from point A to point B. You got a roof over your head, amen. You got employment, amen. You're able to eat something this morning, praise God. In all things, give thanks. If we would be thankful in the little things of life, the simplicity of life, and find gratitude in those things, then the big things are, amen, are no big deal. Understand? I heard it said one time, maybe you've heard this. I quit complaining about not having any shoes until I saw a man with no feet. In America, we complain about everything, don't we? Because we're spoiled. And because we're spoiled, we become soft spiritually. And when we become soft spiritually or out of shape spiritually, then our eyesight begins to dim. We're not able to see clearly. And we assume that we're doing well when maybe we're not. And God has to turn the light on, amen, the word of truth, hallelujah, to reveal to us that, you know what, you need to get right. You need to change your attitude. Perspective on things. Amen. We need to get back into a place of gratitude again. And thank God. Hallelujah. I was able to have something to eat this morning. Thank God for my oatmeal this morning. How many like oatmeal? Amen. Birds of a feather, right? Okay. Coming over to your house for oatmeal. All right. But God wants you. He wants you. He wants us. He doesn't just want the things we can do for Him. But God wants us. He wants that relationship with us. When listen to David's response to God's invitation, I've sent this out to you. But Psalms 27:8, I love this. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." He was a man after God's own heart. When Jesus found his disciples sleeping, remember in the garden in Matthew 26:41, he said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Guys, we need to understand our desperate need of God's presence, of His presence in our lives. We need to go back to Ephesians and say, you know what? I need to start giving God thanks. Amen. In all things, I need to be giving God praise. We need to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. We need to be in basically building up our spirit. Amen. Within us. Hallelujah. Finding, making sure that you're right in your heart with God first and foremost. Amen. That we're seeking God's kingdom first and foremost. Amen. Ephesians, or was it Matthew 6:33? And then God says, I'll take care of your needs. All the other things I'll add to you as well. Amen. This is where we need to be. We need to be, you know, where God wants us to be. And that is in a place of a servant who is humbled before the master and saying, Lord, not as I will, but your will be done. And Jesus, once again, he found his satisfaction in obeying the Father's will. He didn't come to serve himself. God has called you and I to serve one another. Amen. To serve his people. Amen. And when we serve one another, we're serving him who we don't see. Hallelujah. When you bless a brother and you bless a sister, you're blessing the God that you don't see. Amen. Because we are his children and we represent him on the earth. Hallelujah. So look for opportunities. Look for ways. God is a creative God. He'll give you creativity. He'll show you how and where you can bear fruit. Hallelujah. Even in such a situation as we're faced with today. Amen. Stability comes from God. And I'm going to finish with this today, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points, what, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Guys, the Christian life is not an event. It's not a thing you do on the weekend. But it's daily walking in the Holy Spirit. Life, power, provision, protection, anointing, gifts, love, joy, peace, everything comes from the Lord. Worship God. Seek Him above everything else. Amen? And you're going to have the abundant life that Jesus promised you. Hallelujah. For life does not consist in the abundance of the things we have or possess. Amen? But life is in Him. He is our life. Hallelujah. So delight yourself in the Lord. All right? Hallelujah. And He'll satisfy you.